Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back for real. We're black, of course. We're brown, always. Ambition. Mandy, I missed you, girl.
I missed you, too. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I missed that little jingle. I'm glad we took a little break.
Yes, it was nice to take a break. I know we weren't like, you guys probably didn't notice because we did a lot of like taping and pre-taping. So that way, you know, you guys still got your show. But me and Mandy, what has it been, like 2-3 weeks?
It's been about 3 weeks, since we've actually been on the air together. But a lot of life has happened in between. Not amazing things have happened for me, but I'm happy to be standing here. I got really super sick. I didn't even get my damn vacation. But I'm going to get it. I'm in between vacation blessings right now. That's what I'm going to call it. But I'm going to get it. But no, I feel at least I had that vacation time. It was almost like I prepped to be gone. So when I was sick, I was like, okay, I didn't have the additional stress of like trying to, you know, like turn my entire schedule around. So yeah, we had a staycation. But go ahead. Tell me about Hawaii.
I'm glad you did. Because, I mean, I think it's part of the blessings of being able to, like, you know, work for yourself and run your own company, because you just had to say, so, Mandy, we need some time. And Mandy was like, girl, you got it. You know?
Yes. You know, it wasn't even when I was sick. That was the challenging part, because I do feel like at least I've been fortunate enough to work for places where when you say that you're sick, you know, they take your word for it and people kind of rally around you. But what I really did not expect was I was sick for about 10 to 4. I was almost sick for 2 weeks straight, really, really ill. And I couldn't like play with the baby. And then I fell into a depression. I haven't been sick in so long, but I had what was more difficult for me was when I was better, like when I had my voice back and I didn't have like migraines all day. I fell into this very unexpected depression, and I felt it was harder to me to be in that state than to be actually sick with like symptoms, because I still felt like I wanted to sleep all day, and I haven't had an episode like that since, you know, since I was like postpartum, and I had you know, I struggled with depression then. But it knocked me on my ass, and it was really hard because I wanted to be back, and everyone was like, you're back, you know, yay. And I was not back. I was not back. So I found myself, I turned on my vacation responder just because I just couldn't deal. I couldn't. And I'm glad in retrospect, I realized I was pulling some levers that were actually really good coping mechanisms, like vacation responder. I told my family, hey, I'm fine, but I just can't talk. So I put up some boundaries. I leaned into it. You know, I did all whatever I could within a healthy range just to, so I like slept, you know, okay, you want to sleep. Don't question why. Don't shoulda, woulda, coulda yourself out of this state. Just sleep, you know. So it was difficult, but thank goodness I came out of it, because I hate it so much. And my heart goes out to everyone dealing with that, because it doesn't feel like something that you can just call out sick for, but I do think it is. It should be anyway.
No, you're right. And honestly, that's, remember when I took the 6 weeks, that's what was happening. Mm. You know, that's why I was like, I took that 6 weeks away. You know, we did some pre-taping of the pod. No, not really. You guys had like the co-host or whatever. It's because I was struggling and drowning And it was like, if I don't do something, it's not going to get better. And so it's not easy sometimes to force yourself to take time away, because it's not visibly. It's like, well, nothing's wrong. You're like, they're not coughing. You're not sniffling. You're like, yeah, but I'm still not well. You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that. I mean, I obviously I knew you were going through like a ton of like challenges at the time, but you're right. I mean, that 6 weeks, it was what it was. And I mean, I think you positioned at the time as like, I'm just going to take a breather and get back to my business. But, you know, I do think it's important to talk about taking those breaks for literally just a mental health break.
Yes.
And that's, I've never been more grateful to own my schedule than when I had no one to explain it to. I mean, I would have had to take 3 weeks off of work, 2 weeks to be physically ill. And then I was in that deep funk for like a week and a half after that. Imagine, like, that's for some people, they only get like 12 days a year of sick leave, you know, and you're lucky if it's paid sick leave at that. Anywho, I'm just so glad to be out of it. And when I tell you I came out of that fog a few days before Halloween, I got it together. Baby boy, he had a handmade construction truck costume that he did not wear, but I made it. He didn't wear it. He was afraid of it. He wanted to do everything. He wanted to sit on it. He wanted to dance on it. He wanted to push it around the house and dig things, but he did not want to wear it.
He said, I'm not putting that on.
Thanks.
He's like, I'll wear the cute boots, though. He was definitely into the construction boots. He felt so cool. And it was and my neighbors, when I tell you the village I have surrounded myself with, these random strangers who I just moved into this neighborhood 4 years ago. And I've just made friends with some of my neighbors, really good friends with so many neighbors. And we hosted a block party, which I decided to do before I got sick and depressed. And I thought I was going to, I mean, I had texted them. I was like, y'all, I just can't do it. I have to be honest. Cookies felt like the dumbest thing in the world to me a week ago, you know, and like bounce houses and stuff. But when I got out of the fog, they just handled it while I was in my funk, you know, like we got the permit approved. So we closed the street down.
I love it.
Got the bounce house, you know, the dads made hot dogs and burgers and, you know, so huge shout out to my neighborhood village here, because it was so cool for the kids yesterday, and I'm feeling much better now. Yeah. I'm glad to be back. It feels good to be back.
Yeah. I'm happy for you to be back. And I'm glad that, you know, that one, that, you know, you can always take time, you know, our listeners know, you know, we've been riding with y'all for 6 years. You could take a little time off, you know,
right?
And then two, like that. I'm glad that, like, you know, that you, one, that you realize, like, okay, here's some of the tools, because that's what I was doing with my 6 weeks. I said, okay, if I took a week, a quarter, I wouldn't be so backed up like this, Tiffany. So that's what I've been doing. Like every quarter, I have a week blocked off. It doesn't mean I have to go somewhere. It just means I'm not doing anything. I know that. And so so that way it gives me chance to reset every quarter. So that's how I offset. And but yeah, so speaking of my week off, I went to Hawaii. OMG. I'd never been to Hawaii before.
Which part of Hawaii did you go to?
Well, I did two islands. I did Oahu. So I stayed in like Waikiki, which is very cosmopolitan with the splash of island, right? So a big splash of island. So think downtown Chicago. For those of you who are familiar, downtown Chicago is like super fancy. It has like all like the Prada, Gucci, Hermes, whatever, right? So downtown Chicago is like a much cleaner New York.
The Magnificent Mile. Is that that like long street with all, like
so Fifth think about Avenue that. In New York. So it was that, all the Gucci, Prada, blah, blah, blah. But then it was like, oh, but look at that sunset. Oh my God. Like literally, it's like there's an Hermes store and then there's the beach right next to it. You know? So Waikiki was very much that. Although we did go snorkeling and we did, like, with Waikiki, I'll tell you this, here's some Hawaii tips. Definitely rent a car, because it's really not. Because the things you're wanting to do are going to be far away, you know? So, like, if you stay in, like, Waikiki, certainly, like, where we stayed, it's, you know, it's really, like, really nice downtown and beach and things like that. But we also wanted to go snorkeling, and we also wanted to do a little hiking. So we were able to drive to do those things. So you definitely want to rent your car ahead of time. We stayed at the Prince Hotel, which is really nice. It probably is, like, one of the highest rated. I always use TripAdvisor to see. It's one of the highest rated hotels in Waikiki.
Was it like a resort? Did you do the whole all-inclusive thing?
Or no, just I don't know if Hawaii hotel? Has that, but it wasn't a resort. It was, I don't know if it was a resort. There were so many hotels to choose from, but the Prince was clean. It was like nice, you know, it's not the highest of the tiers, but some of the hotels from just reading some of the recent reviews that some of them were like super fancy at one point and it kind of fell into like disrepair. So, but that's not so with the Prince. We loved it. Stayed there for 4 nights. And then we went to Maui for 3 nights. And Maui's the opposite of Waikiki, right? So Maui is like, just like, it's more nature, more like, you know, you don't really get like the downtown-esque, you know, like it was just so beautiful. Both of them were really beautiful. And in Maui, because Maui is so expensive, just to be candid, like Prince, maybe our hotel was $200 a night, which is what you expect for like a nice hotel
that's
in a city.
Pretty good, actually. Yes. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. So it was like maybe like, so I went with my sister and I went with my friend Cabral. So he had his own room. My sister and I had our room, right? So it's like maybe $200, $220. So it's like, okay, Maui, $200 what? Girl, you can rent this cardboard box for $200. I'm talking about like a Howard Inn in Maui is like $600 a night.
Okay. So that's what I would expect. It must be like, because people probably go for this, you know, the scenery.
Yes,
the,
it is. I guess it's like
holy
the one
crap.
Of the. It was so expensive. So I was like, what are we going to do? Because one of my, Anjali actually told me that my financial planner, she actually went to Maui too around the same time we were there. And she told me that she spent $600 a night for like the Fairmont. And I was like, really? How'd you get that? She said, girl, we booked a full year in advance. 12 whole months in advance. She said, because normally the Fairmont is like $1,500 a night. And you're like,
what?
Yes. Like, honestly, many. For a regular hotel, you're looking at $1,000 a night is considered not so bad. And I was like, ain't no way. I said, what are we going to do? Because I did want to go to Maui. My friend Cabral had a great idea. He was like, girl, Airbnb. So we found an Airbnb that was $600 a night. So it ended up still being $200 a piece because we split it three ways.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes.
it was really nice. It was a villa and it was a villa, like a complex with like, it was a villa complex. So it was like a gated community where like really well-appointed villas that were literally right on the water. So it was such a great like juxtaposition to, we were staying in the city in a nice hotel and now we're staying in this villa. So it felt very villa, but the price was the same as like, the city. So that was like, that's a little hack for Hawaii is that if you're staying on one of the islands that tends to be a more premier exclusive island to look for an Airbnb, it will make sense if you're traveling with other people. If not, it's just going to be pricey, girl. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it
and
was
the flight
like,
is long too. That's a whole, how long have you gone for a week?
Yeah. So I will say this though. I've never paid for first class. I've only ever been bumped up because meaning that like, I'm only because people
I feel like no one does. If you're doing it right, you're not paying for first class. Yes.
But I was like, I didn't want to go 10 hours in this upright seat. And I was like, Tiffany, this is your birthday trip. Anjali always tells me I don't spend any money. And I was like, I'm going to pay for first class. I know. So I paid for it.
Did you get a pod?
Yes, it was so nice. I said, is this how the other half lives?
Yeah,
girl. Anjali would tell me, you are the other half, Tiffany. You just refuse to acknowledge it.
opening scene of Crazy Rich Asians when they're on the flight. Have you ever seen that movie when they're on the way to Singapore?
It is.
I'm like, book me that airline. I just want to be financially secure enough to just have that be a
girl. Well,
those types of
flight, like say if you're going to do first class to China, I heard it's like $10,000. I'm like, Hawaii was not cheap. I want to say a little under $2,000 for, you know, round trip, which is not bad, you know, for first class, 10 hours there, 10 hours back. But it was worth it because it was just such a long flight and it was really comfortable. But I had never yet.
Did all your friends also get, did your sister get first class?
She did. And then, but my friend Cabral, he always flies first class. He was like, girl, we don't do nothing else. Like, you know, like that's his life. Usually I'll just be like, well, I'll see you with coach over here. Because usually, like I said, like usually like I, you know, I get bumped up just because I travel enough that like I'm on the list. And so, I maybe done first class maybe like 4 times in my life, and it's because, like I said, I've just gotten bumped, or I'll use points to like bump me up. But yeah, I was like, you know what, Tiffany,
treat yourself. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So it was honestly, it was such a great trip. I didn't do any work. Everything, Hawaii. We did all the things we wanted to do. If you ever want to go to Hawaii and do a luau, you need to book at least like 2 or 3 weeks before you go because they go really fast. Luau's are really popular, and it's an experience that everyone should have. So it's very cultural.
Did you do one?
Yeah, I did one. Thankfully, so my sister's birthday was on the 25th of October, and we surprised her. I told her that we couldn't get a luau because they're all booked. But then we surprised her. We're like, psych, we're going to a luau tonight. So she was super excited. But it was just like, honestly,
those are always the meanest way to surprise people. Make them really upset.
No luau minute. For you. Psych.
Just kidding.
But honestly, it was just such a great time because it was nice to spend time with my sister, my friend.
Mm. Which sister?
Tracy. My publicist.
Oh, Tracy of Tracy Alice PR?
Yes, TracyAliceaPR.com. If you're looking for a publicist. I'm really proud of Tracy. So we should talk about some business stuff, but like later. But like of how she's like done some pivoting.
I'm amazed by her too. I mean, because I feel like over the years you've mentioned Tracy here and there. And now I'm like, damn, she's really doing it.
Yeah, it's only been a year she's in. Doing amazing. She is slaying. But yeah, so it, I said, it was just great. And then, like I said, every quarter I'll be not working for a week. And whether that's a week traveling or whether that's just a week sitting at home, then so be it. But it was just a really good time. And I just like, I'm feeling like, I don't know, Mandy, I'm like just feeling like in such a like a better space and place, that not that life has gotten easier, I've just gotten better at managing. Like I'm putting those things in, like you said something really smart, like when you said that, like, oh, they're the levers that I pulled, that it was like, oh
yeah,
you know what? Okay. My vacation, responder, texting my family to let them know, I'm learning to pull those levers. So as things, cause things are just going to get busier, but it doesn't mean that I have to, I'm learning one, how to recognize the sign, like, oh, Tiffany, we're starting to get into that space of overwhelm. You need to, I'm much better at having the hard conversations. I've been having a lot lately. And I remember being like, I think I'm not going to say it. And I was like, Tiffany, I know it's hard. Remember what Dr. Green taught you, that your reaction that you're having is really the reaction of 10-year-old Tiffany being afraid, not 42-year-old Tiffany. Whatever that consequence was going to be when you're 10 is not the same as when you're 42. Sure, is it uncomfortable, but it's not the same consequence because you're an adult, you have full agency. And so I'm getting so much better. So as a result, I'm feeling the anxiety, like it's shortening my anxiety time, which has been so amazing that I'm like, it's hard. We fixed it. Oh, it's hard. You said the thing. So it's not perfect, but we've said it and we've shaved off a significant component of the anxiety. I'm just feeling like so much better. Like I said, life has definitely gotten harder, but I feel more equipped to manage like what comes my way.
I'm so happy to hear that. I'm so happy to hear it. And I feel like anxiety and what I've made peace with my anxiety and depression is that I live with it. Like I almost feel like, and this goes for anything like self-doubt, negative, fear, all those things. I just imagine that it's like a little furry, cute, like kind of cute, but like an ugly dog that you love, And it's just kind of like sitting on my desk or wherever I am. And I'm just like, hi, how are you? Oh, you again. You're just going to sit there. I know how to handle you. I know you're going to be there. You know what I mean? And it's almost like it's becoming mature enough to recognize that there's always going to be stress, but not being so reactive to it. Mm-hmm. Instead of just reacting to those things that stress you or those moments when you're anxious, it's like putting systems in place and knowing what those levers are. Exactly. And it's a good time to talk about it too, because it's November 1st and seasonal, like with the seasons changing, especially if you're in a part of the country like we are where it gets dark so early, seasonal depression is for real, for real. So if everyone's listening, just go easy on yourself. I did not get to go on my vacation, but I am doing, I'm going to book a facial and a massage. Nice. I'm just going to go, I'm trying to do some self-care, even if I don't feel like I need it, you know what I mean? Like I'm not overwhelmed right now. It's a good time for us to have this conversation. This feels good. I'm glad I didn't cry because I felt like I was going to cry.
No, but it's hard.
It's good to be back for sure.
Yeah. And we're like, sometimes we're just so hard on ourselves. Like, I'm sorry, why can't you fly again? It's like, I mean, what the hell? We're so hard on ourselves. And it's just like, girl, you literally in a year, you've got a baby, a husband, you have a brand new business. Like,
now you're going to make me cry.
But I'm just saying that, like,
it has been a lot.
It's been a lot. Yeah. It's like, because it's like, well, what more do we want? I mean, I'm sorry, quarantine, pandemic, everyone's experiencing trauma. Dr. Green told me that, she asked me, did I know what trauma was? And I was like, I don't know, girl. I mean, I know, but I didn't know the words. And she's like, well, trauma is twofold. It's when something has happened that ought not to have happened. So let's just say you were abused as a child. That should not have happened. Or when something should have happened but did not. Let's just say that you were supposed to be fed and, you know, you were starved. You know, so we are all experiencing trauma, things that happened that ought not to have happened, or things that ought to have happened did not. And so none of us have, if you are still here and you could hear our voice, you lived through a quarantine, pandemic, and all the other things combined. We're all experiencing some form of trauma. Now, for some people, it's hit harder than others, but it's a lot. And giving yourself the grace and the space to like navigate through, that's all we can do. And hopefully that you're consciously navigating through, because I've definitely been someone who has like not, I know it's there, but I haven't done anything about it. And I was like, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to actively work on like, what does better look like for me? What does happier look like for me? What does more alignment look like for me? You know, it's that communication, like, you know, like Mandy, I'm so sorry, Mandy, you texted me that message, like, can we tape later? I did not even see it. I was like, of course. And I did not press enter.
Oh, that's okay. Sometimes technology is not on our side. It does not want us to be great.
You know, but that's the kind of that's the kind of communication you have. Like, hey, if you would have said, hey, Tiff, can we tape on Wednesday? Like, for example, Wednesdays, as y'all know, are my days light and Fridays are my days off. But we've done some Wednesday and Friday tapings because it's like, well, what do you need? Like, how can I lighten your load? You know, like, so we're like, I think that's really one of the keys is that like, having conversations with the people that are affected, and, you know, because people are more than willing to accommodate you in that moment in time. Like, you know, if it's possible, if I can't do it now, I can do this. I can give you my Wednesday. I can give you my Friday. I can. Yeah. So just, So I'm just grateful, but I'm sure in 2 weeks I'll be crying again, but you know, that's just how it is.
Give me 2 minutes. I'm going to stop talking because I probably will start.
But, yeah. No, girl, last week I was like, I'm going to be a preschool teacher again. We're the kids. I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to be a boss no more. It's too
deal much. With babies. Isn't it? I don't think you want to deal with parents during COVID times, though. It doesn't.
No.
It
I know. Like, I was thinking, I was like, that sucks. But I was like, you know what? I don't know. I just want to sing ABCs and the numbers and the shapes. It was so much easier.
Just bring it simple. Kids, though, I did not realize. I thought, oh, I'll love my kid and no one else's kid. But I genuinely have every kid I meet, especially the kids in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I really like them.
Yes.
They're so nice to talk to.
Yes.
And just have and just get a hug.
Yes.
And just bounce and have like a lollipop. Like, I see what you're saying. I don't know about like preschool, but you know, I could hang out with Sydney down the street and just talk about unicorns for 30 minutes. That is self-care.
So awesome. You're like, so they're really so awesome. Dinosaurs. Like, huh?
Why do we don't give kids enough credit? And I feel so like I'm such a mom right now, but I feel like, I don't know, working with children is something I never really had wanted to do, you know, because I think maybe because my childhood wasn't so great. So I just assumed everyone was whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's so therapeutic. Yeah,
it is. That's why you see, I'd be like, Carol, drop my kids off, Roman and Amelia, because it's like, you know, it's such a great space. Because one, I know they're going to be wild. I call them the crazies. I'm like, how are the crazies? She's like, crazy. I'm like, well, drop them off. Because, like, you know, the energy there is just like, they bring life to the house.
There's no time to fuss or worry about big problems, you know?
And
it's
then, like
his YouTube channel is not updating. Like, where's my next toy show?
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, this grilled cheese is too hot.
Yeah, exactly. Can you put it in the refrigerator? Okay, it's too cold now. Can you warm it up? I'm like,
no.
Never end. What do you want to eat? I already know Roman wants to eat that damn rice. That's all he will eat, the yellow Uncle Ben's rice. I'm like, Roman, you're going to turn into rice. He said, that's all I want. Meanwhile, Amelia's like, y'all got ribs? Going on 44. Oh my god, yo! So it's just, but you see, even the joy it brings, like talking about,
yes,
like yeah. So you should. I just encourage everybody who's listening to pinpoint like a space. For me, it's like my nieces and my nephew. That like whenever things are really overwhelming and I need to leave it at the door, that like I will go see them because I know I can't think about anything else. So, pinpointing for you, maybe it's the beach. You know, maybe it's a walk. Maybe it's your favorite podcast, Brown Ambition. leave us a great review, right?
Maybe they're doing it right now. And they're like, shit, I came here to escape my depression. And all they're doing is talking about.
Well, no, let's talk about something happy. So I was in, there's a lot of pivoting that I'm doing now. This is, I just wanted to like touch upon like the importance of pivoting, right? So y'all know I have this online school called the Literature Academy. And for me, although we're like now we have like 40 or 50,000 students and people will tell me, I love the academy. I love the academy. The teacher in me was like, I gave the academy a C plus B minus, meaning like I knew we could do better because I felt like we were adhering to like one type of learner who was super autonomous. Like, girl, like I got this. You know what I mean? Like a Mandy, like, girl, bye. Give me my stuff. I got it. Right. Yeah. But I just was like, well, what about the person that needs the handholding? I felt like we were letting that woman down, you know, and I just couldn't put my finger on how. So we're pivoting in that we will still have the autonomous component of the academy, which is like a library, all these amazing classes you can take, pick the books off the shelf, do what you need to do. But I'm creating this 12-step path program that will lead you to what I call a richer life, you know, at the end. So it's very similar to like my Get Good With Money, like the 10 steps to financial wholeness. But I just added, and with the 10 steps, I added mindset on the front end and philanthropy on the back end to make it 12 steps. So it's like mindset, budgeting, savings, debt, credit, learning to earn, insurance, investing, your money team, estate planning, and philanthropy. So it's these 12 steps. And what I love is I've been reaching out to different financial educators who can teach the complete step. Because before with the academy, you could take, and it still will be there, like you could take a credit course that's 45 minutes. But I realized everyone doesn't have that capacity. So now it's like you could take this credit course that's like 8 modules and each of the videos is under 5 minutes. So that's what I feel like, yes. Like, so we still have the, if you're like, Mandy, you're like, girl, I don't need all that. I could take my class. I'm done. I'm autonomous. But if you're like, actually, I want the breadcrumbing, we're finally adding that in. And it's just, it feels so good. Like, I just wanted to share that like you might be in a spot where in business or in life where the pivot is necessary. Where like, do I need to add on? Do I need to shift? Like I was telling Tracy, she was saying how she's very particular. My sister who is a publicist, right? So she's been doing it for like a year and some change and she's been slaying. But she's very particular about the client she takes on because she said everyone thinks they need a publicist, but she won't take your money if she doesn't think you're ready because she's like, that's not fair. You know, like I know if I pitch you, the answer is going to be no because they know that you're not ready. So she struggled with that. Like, well, what do I do? Because I literally have hundreds of people who are like, I want to work with you. But I know because she has my other sister, Carol, who's like this researcher, will research your full brand. And it says she will assess the likelihood of you getting press. And if she thinks it's not likely, they won't take you on, which I love. But she said, as a result, you know, I feel like I could have hundreds of people signed up, but I'm saying, no, what do I do? I said, well, what's the intermediary like between the person who's ready to be pitched for press and the person who needs some work? You know, is there a product in between? And she was like, I don't know. I'm like, well, you already have done this deep dive research. Are you sharing it with folks? She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, why is that not a thing that like as a product? Yeah. So she started to do coaching now. And she's like, girl, it's gone so well that she does she does coaching where you have to do at least 3 sessions. And so they do this deep dive and they say, here's the way you can tweak and fix your brand to make it ready. And even too, here's some ways that you can start to get press, at least preliminarily for yourself. And she said that has been going so well. And I'm just proud of her for that pivot where it's like, I'm doing, you know, level Z is my main business, but I'm leaving out people A through Y. What do I do? And so she created this coaching program. Like I'm sharing that because I'm just like, I'm seeing those pivots like in all of my friends who, you know, post-pandemic, post-quarantine, like, okay. Like I saw my friend Lovey. She pivoted from, she used to make most of her money from speaking engagements, but now she started this like Mighty Networks, which is like a community that you pay, I think, I don't know, it's like $20 a month for whatever. But like she created a community where like some of the resources that she was giving away, she realized that people really want to deeper dive. So she created a community where she connects on a daily basis with that community. So she realized like, okay, I had to pivot from just speaking engagements to providing additional access of community to me. And so it just, So if you're listening, sometimes we bang our head against like, well, this is the way we know. This is the way we know. And it's like there are offsets and offshoots you can do of what you're currently doing. And sometimes it's just a completely total, like a total, like, you know, 160, 180, whatever, 360 pivot totally. But I just encourage you not to be afraid to pivot to see, is this the only way I could go about doing this? Is there something I can add on? If am I leaving out people who still need services and help? Can I provide that for those folks? I mean, yeah, I just encourage that because, I mean, there was a lot of stress with Tracy because she was just like, wow, you know, I'm not finding new clients, not because people are not interested, but I just can't see myself taking money from people who are not ready. And then I was like, because that's not fair. But now look, now those very people are like, oh my gosh, this coaching is so amazing. Yeah. And she's like so geeked by the fact that like, I'm like, I think that you never know. This might be the thing you really do. Like you maybe only have 4 clients and then the rest of the people come through in this way. And so like, yeah, just like, you know, I know as you're working through your business, Mandy, you're figuring out like, okay, what is my like core base and what am I pivoting to? So like what's new in BizLand for you?
Oh yeah. A lot is new, but the biggest thing is that ever since July, I've been doing one-on-one career coaching. I don't know. I just wanted to pay it forward. And first of all, I wanted to just talk to women. Mm. Most of my followers on Instagram are women of color. And I posted in July, you know, are you interested in free career coaching with Mandy? That's me. And I posted a form. And I posted a form and I had over 200 people within the first 48 hours sign up. And then I was like, oh, snap, well, what am I going to do? So, you know, I kind of created a calendar system and all that. And I've been trying to do a couple of sessions a day. And we're ramping up. At this point, I've done about 40 sessions, which doesn't sound like a lot. But it's 40 women. And I have 82 more scheduled by the end of the year. And it hurt because, when I was sick and then I was in my funk, I had to reschedule a lot of them. Yeah. But it has been so fulfilling and it's free. It's a half hour. And no, I'm not taking any new applicants right now. I can't. but it has been. And the reason that I put that form up and I made it, you know, detailed, like you had to put why you're interested in talking to me, when you're looking to leave your job, what do you need help with, to fill out a form, you know? And I feel like there wasn't one poor quality applicant. It was all. And the women that I get to talk to, when I tell you, like, it's almost, and a lot of them listen to Brown Ambition, obviously. So it's literally like I've gotten to talk to our fans every day. I try to just, I'm awkward. So I'm like, yeah, forget who I am. So tell me about your career. And the women, inspiring on another level. And so, like, it just fills me up. And I'm like, this feels good. How do I do this? So I have been doing those and I am in the process of building out. I launched my Just Quit Toolkit back around the same time around my birthday in early August. And that's been downloaded nearly 2,000 times.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's been really helping people, but it's, you know, it's a 12-page free download. And I've leaned into this whole and I'm just owning my recipe for wealth building and my recipe for career success, which has been to actively quit whenever I decided that I found a new opportunity that paid better or offered me better career prospects. And I talk about quitting 7 times in 10 years and how there's a stigma around job hopping and how that really only benefits employers, but it actually is not true because job hopping, I think, helps everyone in the end. But anyhow, so I had the Just Quit Toolkit. Now I'm working on Quit Your Way Rich course, which is going to be, I know, I feel like, oh, course. But no, literally, it's going to be, I mean, you talked about modules, a ton of different modules, but everything from, you know, passively job searching. I mean, and the women that I talk to every day, the questions that they're asking me, I know I have so much to say and so much to offer. And I, talking to women every day, kind of as my focus group, I know exactly, you know, what the challenges are. And it's just been, so that's what I'm focusing on. I'm not going to say behind because, you know, I'm where I need to be, but because of that, those few weeks of downtime, but that's my focus. I've stepped away from the consulting because, you know, that was my bread and butter.
Yeah.
You know, doing consulting, which is one of the modules that's my course is going to be how to become a consultant, you know, how to leverage your professional how to do what you're doing for an employer and do it for way more money on your own and not report to anybody, which is a lot of the women I talk to. They want to like consult. And you know what? The secret is that it's you just have to call yourself a consultant and that's all you have to do.
No, honestly, that is all like. It's the pivot. Like, I love that. I did like a live the other day where I talked about in the beginning, you're kind of hustling up, you know, because you're like, okay, I know I can make money like this. So we got to pay these bills. Let's get to a stable. We're paying bills. But then in the back of your mind, you kind of have like, this is really, I think I want to dabble in this. And so, but it's okay in the beginning. I think people feel like if I'm not working my passion right away, something's wrong. It's like, no, sis, bills must be paid. So no, that sounds so exciting. I can't wait for it to be done so you can share it with us so we can.
You know what's funny? I was up to like 3 a.m., like just having a manic episode, you know, planning. And I was like, feeling better. So I was like, I got to buy domains and I got to look at webinar options and da, da, da. And then I was like, I actually listened to a module of your Literature Academy where you, I think it was recent because I'm like, she talked about this on the podcast, but you were talking about building a movement and everything. It was nice to listen to you. It was, I felt so weird because I'm like, I could just call, but why not? She's already created this. Why don't I just listen to it? What's she got to say? And you talked about building a movement and your dream catchers and dream builders. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I want to create a community too. Cause for me, I don't just want it to be that art, you know, just have a course out there and then here you go get it. And I'm not going to ever be around. I like personal connection. I like talking to women about whatever's going on in their lives and my life, you know, and anyway, so I'm trying to create a community. And also, I know the 200 women that I've that I'm in the process of talking to, like I'm like, you guys need to talk to each other because I'm talking to people in the same like the same industries. And I'm already thinking like, oh, but I talked to like Ashley last week, who's also in, and these are women who are like in VP level, director level. These are big jobs. And anyway, so I'm like, if I could create a community where, yes, I'm available, but also they can lean on one another.
Yes.
I think that could be really powerful. But what was funny is I'm like, what the hell am I going to call them? Like Tiffany calls them dream builders. And like, you know, what is Mariah Carey calls hers lambs.
Lambs,
and like Lady Gaga, your monsters.
Yeah.
But I'm like, are we going to be the quitters? Is that going to be our name? Like, we're the quitters. But that's not inspirational.
It's not inspirational. But you'll think of something.
I'll think of something.
Yes. But that's honestly, I love this pivot for you. And you're right. One of the things I talked about in that course about building a community that you know you truly have a community when they don't lean solely or even mostly on you. They lean on each other. That's how you know you've done it. You know? Like, No, this is really like, this is awesome. I know we have it sometimes, you know, we talk about like our lives and things like that, but it's nice to also like, you know, dip in and chat about business. Cause I know so many of you guys are starting businesses or wanting to start businesses or just curious about how does it all go. And so we try to make, you know, especially now that Mandy has come on to the business, we'll have more chat about that.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Well, in the interest of time, I think it's time to segment two. Boost or break, or boost or break, or boost or break, or boost or break. Are you gonna boost?
Oh, what's the beat?
Are you gonna break? No, I said, like, got it. Clap, wait, wait, clap, 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 clap,
clap, clap, clap, clap, clap. I like to snap. Clap, snap, clap. Snap, snap,
snap, snap, snap, snap, snap, snap, snap, snap.
Because I have to clap, I have to clap like around my mic. It's awkward.
All right, Mandy, are you going to boost or are you going to breaksies?
I am going to do a boost, and a simple boost. And this is one of the things, like, I've been doing this these mentorship career conversations for so long. I don't know if you guys know this, but on LinkedIn, and this is one of my keys to passively job searching, it's almost like it's like formulating, yes, your LinkedIn profile is important, but there's this new button that you can click on LinkedIn called the Open to Work button. So if you go to your profile on LinkedIn right now and you look underneath your photo and your title, there's a button that says Open To. And then you click that, and you can actually, this signals to recruiters and they can filter. Because I feel like and when I was recruiting as a hiring manager, LinkedIn Recruiter was my preferred tool of choice. I think it's wonderful. A lot of recruiters are using LinkedIn as a tool to recruit. But now if you say you're open to work, they can actually see, oh, this person's actually available. Like I might have a shot at getting a response. So I really encourage the women I'm talking to actually go to LinkedIn and click and turn on their open to work signal. And LinkedIn will do its best to hide. I know some people are like worried, oh, what if my boss sees that I'm open to? Personally, I think let them know that you're keeping your options open. But if you're worried about that, LinkedIn will, they say they will try their best to hide that from people who work at your company, and especially people on the recruiting side who work at your company. So there is a bit of that. You can look at your privacy settings, but I think it's such a simple way to do it. And this is the key, though, when you put open to work, and I've actually talked to women, I'm like, tell me, what'd you say you're open to? And they may be open to only titles that they've already had or previous titles. I'm like, be sure that you are open to and looking into, like, what is the next level for you and what are those job titles, because you want to be available, you know, for recruiters who are searching for those roles. And some of the women I've talked to, you know, they haven't been reaching or aiming high enough when it comes to their title and open to work. So that's my career tip. And I think it's wonderful. My little career boost. Yes.
My boost is super simple too. So I just found out. Let me check right now where we at. My author portal. So I got some really amazing
news. Did we get to 100K?
Yes. Isn't that crazy? So I have officially sold, which is so crazy. I don't know how it is with other publishers, but for example, Penguin, of course, my computer is like acting slow. Penguin allows you to have, to see like how much you've sold. So I've sold 100,000, 100,000 copies, 102,000 copies. No, not 102. 102,000 copies, but just basically over 100,000 copies. I hit that benchmark, I'm going to say Friday, you know, so a few days ago. But here's the thing. It took me a while to because I was like, okay, is that good? I mean, I know it's good, but I didn't know how well. So I did a little Google. I was like, how many books sell 100,000 copies in a year? And so it said,
how many personal finance books? Sorry.
Girl, I know. So typically,
personal finance books. Okay.
There are literally millions and millions and millions of books that are selling annually, and about 200 of them will ever sell 100,000 copies in a year. But then it whittles down further that of the 200, 120 are books that have already been out there, meaning like the Bible is still selling 100,000 copies a year, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, those types of books, like The Secret. So really, there are about 1 million new books that launch annually. And of those 1 million new books that launch annually, only about 80 sell over 100,000. So it's like,
wow,
like a quarter of 1%. And I was just like, wow, Tiffany, because I'm not really one for soaking things in. I'm like, okay, next thing. And I was like, no, I want you to soak in that you sold 100,000 copies plus of your book in 7 months, not even in 12 months, in 7 months, Tiffany. Like, that's not a small thing. You guys have just like shown up fully for this book. And I just, and if you're like, what book? Get Good With Money. Hello. Because some people might be like, I'm new. What book? So I wrote a book, Get Good With Money. And the fact that it was on the list for 8 weeks, I'm actually going to have a party. I told myself I'm having a party. I'm going to have it probably the first or the second week in December.
I'll be there.
I want to cater it like a party. Yes. Because I'm talking about, I want to invite, literally I'll figure out what it looks like, but I'm, you know, some of y'all be invited. I'm sure it'll be RSVP. And so it's not invite only, but certainly RSVP. So we can have a cap, but I'm going to have a party with a DJ and food because I never mark the time. You know, I never stamp. I'm like, this is a big deal, Tiffany. You wrote this book, Get Good With Money. You poured your heart into it. You wanted to make sure that it really was a guide for especially women, especially brown women, a guide to work them through the most basic parts of personal finance to the complicated components of personal finance. In these 10 steps, you did it. You made the list. You stayed on it for 8 weeks. You've sold 100,000 copies. Girl, it's deserving of a party. And so we're having a party. And so I just wanted to boost that because
I'm so excited. First of all, for the 100K. But second of all, because you really don't throw parties.
I don't.
You barely had a party for your own wedding.
Literally, I did it. Literally, my wedding was, we're going to the Justice of the Peace and we're going to have
a lunch
at like my friends. I just, you know, I don't know what it is. I'm just not one for like stamping, like, you know, accomplishments or stamping like, and I was like, stop. We're not doing that anymore. I don't know why you feel like you can't or you shouldn't, but I'm like, no, we're going to have a daggone party, Tiffany. We're going to have a really good time because I want to remember and think back like this is a joyful, momentous occasion, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, yeah, so I'm just excited about that. I just like, yeah, I just wanted to share that as a boost that, you know, that's something that it's hard to wrap my mind around because, you know, the number is one thing.
I only said 100K.
I'm
the J.K. Rowling of personal finance. Like,
you know, it's so crazy. Like, it's on my vision board. I'm looking at my vision board now. It said 100,000 copies sold. I didn't say when. And it said New York Times bestseller. And I'm like, wow, we're actually here. Yeah, so.
You're going to need a bigger vision board.
I know. So, yeah, don't worry. We're going to have a party. Okay, a party. We're going to party so hard that I'm gonna slip into my Crocs halfway through so my feet can be comfortable. That kind of party.
I'm so freaking excited for you. And we'll continue to be so proud. So proud to know you.
Thank you. If you want to get the book, getgoodwithmoney.com. Some of y'all be like, ooh, you forgot your commercial, Tiffany. I forgot.
I would be shocked if anyone listening right now. You should be ashamed of yourselves. And listen, if you haven't gotten the book yet, it's not. Go get the book. Go to your local Target.
Yep.
And if you don't see it, check the Dave Ramsey book because I might have put hers over it.
That was funny. I love that video.
Your local Westchester Target. Yeah. Oh. GetGoodMoney.com. Yes. Well, we're back. I'm so glad to be back. It felt good.
And don't forget, guys, you know, this is just one of two episodes that we do weekly. So we're actually about to go tape our Q&A episode for Friday's drop. So keep your Q&As pouring on in. Share, you know, copy and paste. If you got friends in business or otherwise, copy and paste the link to wherever you're watching this and share in your group chat. Like, let's get our, you know, we would love to just expand.
Wait, we didn't even have it. Speaking of celebrating, we have not had a chance to celebrate with BA Fam.
I know.
Our iHeartRadio Best Business Podcast Award nomination.
That's right, nomination. We have to think about how are we going to celebrate. We have to have dinner, something, because we had a fun dinner before.
They need to invite us to LA. That's what I'm thinking.
I would love
that. iHeart Media Awards. But no, we are up against Earn Your Leisure, which doesn't even feel like competition, just friends, just bros. Yes.
But like
how I built this? Girl. That was the one. My husband was like, what?
That's crazy.
He actually listens to that podcast. Not mine, but he listens to that one. That's crazy. Guy Raz, the one and only. Yes, we're up against them.
And there was something else too. Isn't it Planet Money, which is huge? NPR's Planet Money.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Planet Money. One of NPR shows.
Okay.
And then a Bloomberg show. So legit. I mean, not that we needed anyone else's like validation, but it feels damn good.
We had some good company.
Recognized. Yes. It feels really good to be recognized. And it feels like you know, everything is right on time. But I'm like, yeah, we deserve it. 1,000%.
They're late.
Yeah. So thank y'all. Yes. Thank y'all for rocking with us and, you know, continuing to support the show because, we put everything into it.
We do. All right, y'all. Until next week. Well, really, until Friday. See y'all
until
later.
Until Friday. See you at the BAQA.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.